It is so good to be back. Penang is a good place for many reasons, except for one. The Roy Oysters, wow, I can't even pronounce that name, because I got hit by the poison of food poisoning. So I came back with four problems: food poisoning, a painful tooth, a buzzing ear, and my heart wobbling. The Lord is good. I have had three of the things fixed, and this coming week I hope the rest will be fixed as well. Pray for me. Thank you for praying. I know many of you have been telling me, we are praying. You keep on writing. According to the announcement, this is actually stealing a march before me. I had mentioned that I'm preparing to go, but we have not made our dates yet, but now it's announced. 9th of February to 6th of March, 4 weeks in Penang. By the way, the golden years, I have not forgotten that I'm still looking into a possibility to give the golden years a short holiday in Penang, Bible camp for oldies. So we are still looking into it, possibly if they have got these cheap flights, Singapore Penang return for $200 or so, we will go. But that is only on paper. Now, before I go into the sermon, I thank someone who wrote to say that as we grow bigger, there are a few little teething problems, sort of, where people are lax in sanctity in the sanctuary. Now, as far as I can see, it is very sanctified. But my reporter tells me there are people who take non-permitted material to read, put their feet on the hymn rack together with the Bibles, and hold little conversations quietly. And in the old days, I was told some even do their emails and telephone exchanges during the sermon and other things. Plus, noisy children. Now, this is a perennial blessing. I won't call it a problem. For what will we do without children? Nevertheless, parents, please be informed. We love your children. But if they do become a little bit hyperactive, please do something. So that's all my announcements because of the letter. Now, what shall we talk about this morning? I have changed the topic, as you may know, and we are going to concentrate on Psalm 17. Please turn there. It is an amazing psalm, not very well known, not certainly like Psalm 23 that we all know so well and know it by heart, but because of one verse which we have memorized, and we will go through it right now. That is the theme of this morning's message, Psalm 17, verse 15. And I hope as we read together, you can appropriate this verse for yourself, that you mean what you read, and the Lord will make it come true for you. Are you ready? Verse 15. Everybody, please. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Psalm 17, verse 15. Together one more time. Psalm 17, verse 15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Psalm 17, verse 15. Amen. You ask yourself, how did David know? Psalm 17 verse 15 is an amazing statement, unknown to the Old Testament saints, except a few. And it was revealed to David. Life does not end in the grave, 6 feet underground, and that is it. There is a day coming for you and me who have the Savior. And this is the promise. When you read this, your whole outlook of life changes. Your whole purpose in life, what you do every day, your thought pattern, your projection, your ideas change. All because of verse 15. Please see it again. David says, who was David? We all know him very well. Servant of God, youngest of the sons of Jesse, the shepherd boy, but a man of God, a man after God's own heart, and to him God could confide, reveal. David, be faithful in all that you do. There is a time coming, and I say this same verse applies to all of us here. The grave is not the end. Death has something more to Christians. Here it is. As for me, because I have trusted in thee. Can you say this, dear friends? You came to church this morning hoping for something good. I have no doubt about it. Otherwise, you'll be on the beach or somewhere else. You come here because you have made a little sacrifice to seek after God. What will I get for my effort? Did you ask yourself? If you did not, it is implied. When we all come to a church, there must be a certain expectation. When you became a Christian, there must be a certain expectation. When you buy insurance, there must be a certain expectation. You ask the man, the agent, say, what will I get at the end? This is what it is. This psalm is a wonderful psalm to reveal to us. You follow the Lord Jesus Christ not in vain. Which means we all, knowing this great fact, must double up in our efforts to serve the Lord, to walk with Him, to keep off sinful things every day, because we have something amazing, great and wonderful coming for us. Verse 15, as for me, because I have trusted in the Lord Jesus, the one who loved me and died and rose from the dead, and He says, I am coming for you. Here it is. As for me, I will behold His face in righteousness. Today I am so sinful. Every time I think I want to do good, I don't do the wrong thing. You feel miserable. But there is a day coming. God will change you. Amazing promise. Verse 15 says, as for me, because I have Jesus as my Savior, I will behold your face in righteousness. Whose face? The face of the Savior. The Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who loved you, who called you, who paid the price for your ransom. You're going to see Him in righteousness. There is going to be a change coming. Today you groan and mourn because you cannot do the things you used to do. You're sick and tired and weak and old and dying. Who is not dying? We all are. In that kind of desperate situation, there is hope, a wonderful, sure, and a soon-to-be-realized hope. As for me, I will behold your face in righteousness. Whose face? We sang that hymn just now, face to face with Christ my Savior. Do you ever wonder how it will be? I cannot imagine. Because our mindset today is not up to that height of understanding we cannot imagine. But we can only say yes. There is a day coming when I shall see Him face to face. So we sing that song not in vain. Face to face, what will it be? David says, as for me, I know I will behold my Savior in righteousness. On that day, it will no longer be a sin-loving body. Did you ever sometimes hate your own body for doing the things you know you should not do, the things that you resolve you do, never do again, and you do? That is the body. No more. Change to be like His. So you see, Jesus in righteousness, I shall be satisfied when I awake. Now here are two thoughts. Number one is satisfaction. As I said at the very opening, in anything you do, you want to know what is the end. Will I be satisfied? You say, join the Scouts movement. Okay, you say, what will be the end? What will I get out of it? Go to school, study, go to university. What is the end point? Will I be satisfied? I buy your insurance. I join your church as a believer in Jesus Christ. What is the reward at the end? I want to know. Is that reasonable? I say, absolutely. Only the unthinking will launch and go into a project without knowing what is going to be the reward at the end. Now, think. You have come to Jesus Christ as your Savior. You want to know what is the end? David tells you the answer. Yeah. I shall be satisfied for all my troubles. And he had troubles like no one ever had before him. Think of a man all the time being pursued by 3,000 soldiers of Saul and other enemies. What is the worth of living? But I know, as for me, I shall be satisfied because I follow a Savior who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think. Do you have that assurance? So he says, I shall be satisfied. I know he's told me there will be tribulation. Don't you think that you become a Christian, everything is smooth sailing? Is that your idea and your persuasion? I say, if so, forget it. The Lord Jesus says, I want to tell you something. You follow me. This is what Peter asked him, you see. Peter says, Lord, we have forsaken all. Houses and lands and fathers and mothers and so on, just to follow you. And he says, what shall we have therefore? Reasonable? Very reasonable. What did Jesus tell him? Those who have forsaken the houses and lands and brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers and sons and daughters shall get 100-fold, and in the life to come, everlasting life. That's what you'll get. This is a promise. And David saw it 3,000 years ago. I shall be satisfied. He preceded Peter. Peter was satisfied in following Jesus because Jesus told him, you will get 100 times more than what you forsake, and I will give you eternal life. Wonderful. But of course, not without the present tribulation. You cannot avoid the present tribulation. It is part of this living on earth. As a Christian, perhaps more tribulation, more problems, because you have to avoid certain things, and then you bring on certain other worries. Does it matter? King David says, and I say, all true believers can say the same, I shall be satisfied. When? Not now. Today we see darkly. Today we don't know that it is going to be exactly as what is promised. But when I awake, no, That implies there's going to be a time when you sleep, right? Of course, you can't awake if you don't sleep first. And that sleep talks of something most of us dread. Today, my wife and I returned from Penang, full of thanksgiving to God. 18 days without a day of sickness. We thank God that that day is postponed all the time. What day? The day of His calling. Are we ready? I say, are you ready? Dear friends, we on earth are here by His permission. He allows us to have another day of life. Your breath is still felt in your nostrils. Your heart is still pumping. You can still feel. You can go out and come in. How come? God is merciful, but a day is coming. You cannot avoid that day except for one thing. For those of us who are believers, except for one thing, if the Lord should come in your lifetime, you will not taste of death. Amazing, that is for another sermon, but this is the promise. And we Christians live only on the promises of God today. You don't see them. But that sure promise, when you sleep, in answer to His call, there is an awakening coming. Jesus says, marvel not at this. The day is coming. That all that are in the grave shall hear the voice of the Son of Man and shall come forth out of the grave. So David says this, when I awake with your likeness, wow! Where did he get that from? To die is one thing. To awake out of that sleep of death is something else. My question to you this morning is, when you walked into this church, as your custom is, seeking the Lord in worship, did you have that assurance that come what may, should He call you any time, any day, are you ready? And do you know that if you trust in the Lord, that He calls you and you sleep, there is a day coming He will wake you up again. This is the promise. This is not fantasy. This is not make-believe. But this is a sure promise in the Word of God. And there is nothing else now, no other book that can tell you what is in the future. Only this book. Something that is so wonderful, at the moment mystical, but true, because God's word is true. So, I read to you again this last part. I shall be satisfied. When you took on this following Jesus to be a Christian, did you know that you were coming into this sort of a bargain? This sort of deal? Better than making money and all kinds of other promises of those who sell you this and that the other. David, and I say all of us can say this, if you have the Lord Jesus as your Savior, I shall be satisfied. Nothing else will satisfy you, because in that day when you have to leave this earth, I tell you, all the things that you ever treasured and owned and enjoy and see and have pleasure, a wonderful apartment. I've just moved into an apartment. Some of you helped me. I say, it is the best apartment we have in all our lives. Smaller, more compact, but the best. Because when I sit in the dining room, I can see the rest of the house. Then I feel good. So good to have such a comfortable apartment. But when I think, the day is coming when I got to breathe my last, do I look at those things and say, "Aiya, I wish I could have more of it." Do you think that is in your mind? Oh no, dear friends. At that moment is, my Savior, how good it is to come home. Do you have that kind of a persuasion? Then all the things of earth fade into nothingness. I oftentimes look at my sitting room, look at my few possessions, acquired through many years, so good. But when it comes to that last breath, say, those things are useless. Everything you own on earth that you treasure today, so precious, so important, at that moment fade into nothing. Only the one thing matters. I am going home to my Savior. And then I will close my eyes in rest. All those other things disappear, fade into nothing, because I have a wonderful promise. I shall be satisfied, because I'm going to wake up out of this sleep. I cannot avoid it, because I'm in this sinful body that is condemned to the curse of death. But Jesus has overcome that death and the sorrow and the terrible darkness that comes with it. And he says, I shall awake with thy likeness. Amazing, isn't it? When you know all this, and today you are going through trouble, which who can avoid? I told you I came with four things wrong. Something wrong with my ear, something wrong with the brain. Where else? My stomach, my whole gastrointestinal system is upside down. And the ear and the eye and the throat, all these in trouble. But then I know these things are part and parcel of today. And at death, all these things become inconsequential. Death is the cure for cancer, you know. Do you know that? Death is the cure for cancer. Yes, cancer cannot get at you when you die. But then we are satisfied. To all of us who have this fear of dying, that fear will disappear when you have this verse, Psalm 17:15. As for me, I will behold your face in righteousness. Today I close my eyes in rest. The Savior is calling. I say, yes, Lord, I'm coming. Can you say that? Every day be ready. Every day serve Him. Every day follow Him faithfully. Keep His commandments. Walk with Him. Eschew the things of the world, those things that lure you, tempt you, seduce you. Don't. Why? Because I have a better outlook, a better promise than the things of earth. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. No matter what troubles you go through today, this promise will give you amazing hope. Immediately. Now we talk of troubles. I want to give you just a few more verses so that you understand when you go through suffering and trouble, you know that it is nothing compared with the glory that will be revealed in you. Romans 8:18, that famous chapter of Romans. And this verse, I want you to make a note, please, so that you will not forget. Romans 8:18. We will read together, because when you read, you are part of the process, and then you will remember better. Romans 8:18. Yes, we must be quick in our sword drill. This is the sword drill. You must know your Bible. Don't start from Genesis now, please. Romans is in New Testament, near the end, yeah? Alright, ready? Everybody, please. Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Amazing. I reckon, I know that the sufferings of this present time, please think of your sufferings now and then think that they are inconsequential. Doesn't matter how bad that suffering, how unbearable, how long you've been suffering that thing for, because the Word of God has something better than that suffering. It says here, I know that the suffering that of this present time are not worthy to be compared. You must compare. You know what is to compare? Of course. Look at your old self, look at your new self, look at the old promise, look at the new promise, your old life to the new life, then you see, there is glory coming when I awake with thy likeness. This is the glory. You cannot imagine it, but God says it is so. Do you believe it? If God says so, we say yes. Thank you, Lord. Now, another verse. 2 Corinthians, keep on turning after Romans is 1 and 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 17. Alright, 2 Corinthians 4:17. Again, for those who are suffering, and I say there will not be few in this congregation. Some are unable to come to church. That is an affliction because of age and infirmity and sickness and so on. We are very troubled by these things, but God has a solution. Verse 17, together, please read it together. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For our light affliction is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That affliction, no matter how bad it is, because it is only for a moment. How long can you suffer under an affliction? I had a cousin who passed away about 2 months ago. He suffered for at least 2 years. Cancer of the prostate. Terrible suffering. But there is a limit to it. 2 years. What is 2 years? 2 years in the context of eternity is nothing, of course. In the context of you who are healthy, how sad it is, how terrible to suffer day and night, off and on for 2 years. But the apostle says, cheer up. In Jesus Christ it is a light affliction, but for a moment of time, even 2 years, even 10 years, even 20 years, it passes away like nothing. It's only a moment of time. But then it works for us a far more eternal and exceeding great weight of glory coming. It is what you get at the end that matters. Think of those people who suffer on earth and end up in hell forever and ever. That is the promise. Now for us who have come to Jesus Christ, what a glorious change of outlook. Read together, please. Verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now our focus is not on the affliction, not on the suffering. Focus on the glory that will be revealed in us. Same as Paul wrote in Romans 8:18, I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. Do you know that glory is promised to you? You say, I'm not worthy. Of course you are not worthy. None of us is worthy of glory, but it is because Jesus gives it to us. This is a promise. So Romans 8:18, 2 Corinthians 4:17, both talk of glory and exceeding and eternal. Exceeding, you cannot imagine how wonderful it will be. And eternal, meaning to say, never ending. When you suffer from an affliction, it says, oh, it's never ending. You think so? In a moment of time, it will end. But what God gives to us, the glory. Now you want to ask me next, what glory are you talking about? David has already told us, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy what? Likeness. When we awake out of death, on that day when Jesus calls us out of the grave, He will give us a new body, something more wonderful like the Lord Jesus. That's why David says, I shall awake with thy likeness, like you. This is the promise, do you know? Now, we have one last verse, then we conclude. 1 John chapter 3, very near the end of the Bible, before Jude and Revelation are the epistles of John. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. And this one will seal and cap the whole thought this morning, that all of us who have a problem, who have a doubt, who have a question, can come to this verse and say, that is my solution. I shall be satisfied, because the day is coming when I shall awake with thy likeness. 1 John 3, 2. Are you ready? 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Together, everybody. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. That is glory. We shall see Him as He is. That we will be like Him. That is the promise. That is the glory that makes it worth coming to church every Sunday. Worth walking with Jesus every day. Worth your avoiding all the seduction, attraction of this perishing world. Worth your giving up all your sins. Just for one thing, I shall see Him and I shall be like Him. This is the climax of all our salvation, when we shall be changed. Do you have that assurance? We read it again. Please, are you ready? Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. We shall be like Him. Imagine. No longer looking at the body and say, that body is so sick and tired. I wish I just have to go to bed and do nothing. No more. Because you have a new body. Because this is the promise of Jesus. When I come and call you, you are going to have a new body, like me. Where does it say so? So many passages, but this one is the best. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God. People make fun of you. Oh, you're talking about pie in the sky. Live for reality today. Live for the things of today, I say. Please, keep on looking to Jesus, believing and remembering all that He said, all because of one thing, because my Savior lives. Because He lives, I know what He says is true. Because He lives, I know that He's coming back for me. Because He cannot come back if He didn't wake up from the grave and ascend to heaven, and He says, I'm coming again. When He comes, He will change you. Have that assurance, dear friends, today. Go home rejoicing. Go home and tell your friends every day. Make up your mind. Resolve. In this new year, I am going to live for Jesus, the one who makes it worthwhile by becoming a Christian. I'm going to tell someone else. Will you tell someone else? Will you make it your passion, your joy to tell someone you love, somebody you care for, tell him about this wonderful news that Jesus saves. And this is the glory. What glory? No longer tired, no longer sick, no longer wanting to sin, no longer when you see those glossy pictures, your eyes are attracted there immediately. You know what I mean. On newspapers, in television, everywhere, those seductive pictures. All of us are attracted when it comes to that day and Jesus has changed you to give you a new body, glorious body, no longer attracted by sins of the world. No longer able to get sick, prone to get sick, no more. Things of the world will not affect you anymore. You will never die again. You have a glorious body, loving only the Lord, no more loving to sin. That is the glory that will be revealed in all of us. Thank God for it. Live for it. Every day, live for Jesus and see how He is going to use you in a great and mighty way. Now our closing hymn is what we sang for Singspiration this morning. I'm making a change here. So it is not 221, but 547. 547. And you will be greatly blessed by the words of this hymn. 547. All that will be glory for me, because it is hard to imagine what that glory will be. What will it be like when Jesus changes you? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you are going to be like Him. Glorious body. 547. All that will be glory when all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safely on that beautiful shore, just to be near this dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. Glory for me, all that will be glory for me, when by His grace I shall look on His face, that will be glory for me. Sing with conviction, sing with joy, sing from your heart, sing with your voice. Let's arise now. Hymn is 547 in closing. Oh, that will be glory for me.
When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe from that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me. Glory for me, glory for me, when by His grace I shall look on His face, that will be glory for me. When by the gift of His infinite grace I am accorded in heaven the place, just in the look on His face, will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me. Glory for me, glory for me, when by His grace I shall look on His face, that will be glory for me. Friends will be there, long ago, Lord, I am with you, glory will flow. Yet just a smile from you, yeah, I know, will through the ages be glory for me. Without your books, oh, that will be glory. Glory for me, glory for me, when by His grace I shall look on His face, that will be glory for me.
the road, chorus by heart. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me, when by His grace I shall look up His face.